see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
And she's like, I'm 26. It's really depressing. And then Peter's like, well, I'm 28 and I'm a grandfather. And I was like, fuck you all.
This is when I was just like, really? Ugh.
That's when I finished my bottle of wine.
And opened the next one. Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Lee Blickley.
Well, we learned one thing last night. The only thing more incompetent than Pilot Pete is the Iowa Democratic Party. That's right, y'all. The most dramatic caucuses ever overlapped in spectacularly painful fashion with the most exhausting Bachelor episode ever.
But at least the rose ceremony results came in, even if we had to spend 3 whole hours wading through them. And joining us today in studio to discuss the first 3 hours of Bachelor programming this week, because there's more to come.
The first.
is GQ columnist, political reporter, and former HuffPoster herself, Laura Bassett.
Hey, guys.
Thanks
oh my God.
Being here.
First time on the pod.
First
How
time on the
feel?
Pod, millionth time in the newsroom. So thrilled to be here. This is my coming out party as a Bachelor fan.
Yeah. Look. Women contain multitudes. Yeah. Fight the shame.
I am 32 flavors and then some, yeah,
exactly.
Said Ani DeFranco.
What a season to come out. You made a good choice.
I mean, you know what? This Bachelor season needs a little more Ani. These women all need to fucking listen to Ani.
I'd like to get Ani on The Bachelor. That would be great.
Oh, that would be
the Bachelorette.
Amazing. Just, yeah. Wow. I support this crossover. But we have a lot to talk about, so let's just dive right in, because they're like, I don't even know what happened, but we're going to try to walk ourselves through. So ABC had promised that they would cut in with Iowa updates. Mm-hmm. There were no Iowa updates,
no.
So we didn't get that, but we did get a little bit of, you know, George Stephanopoulos at the beginning.
Yes.
Really setting the scene
it
for
set
us.
The scene for the whole entire episode.
They were like, it's just like Pilot Pete up in here.
It's time to caucus.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the more contentious race is the race to be a pilot wife.
Right. And frankly, a more organized race.
Yeah. Like, we had 2 rose ceremonies. It was clear. There were winners. There were losers. People bowed out.
It's unbelievable. We got some one-on-one dates. We got some group dates. We got some results.
Like, I would never think, like, you know, The Bachelor really has it together in a way that the Democratic Party does not. But here we are.
It's a shame.
So they're still bitching about Alea. Remember, Alea was still there at the beginning of this episode.
Mm.
That's how far we've come.
I totally forgot she was still
same.
In the game.
Same until I just looked at my notes.
Yes, it started off with Alea. And they were still in Cleveland, you know, good old Cleveland.
Still in Cleveland, still bickering, still angry.
McKenna is still very angry,
McKenna's
still
pissed.
Upset.
Sydney's pissed. Everyone's, you know, just thinks. Natasha has a great line. She says, Alea made her bed and now she needs to
Alea in it.
With
so good.
I mean,
I don't think Peter wanted
to
send. I don't think he even was ready to send her home. I think the women were going to literally light him on fire if he didn't.
Yeah, it was a full mutiny.
It was a mutiny. It was a coup.
I think honestly, Peter and Alea have a conversation where he's basically like, I think you're a good person, but this is too much. And I think she agreed. I think she would have sent herself home.
She was terrified of the women, too.
I don't know why she wanted to even be there.
I don't think she did.
I'm done. Cool. Thank you. Thank you for sending me back home.
Yeah. She left with her eyeballs intact. Good for her.
Yeah, she was probably like, get me the fuck out of this social experiment.
Is this pilot worth it? Is pilot wife... worth
like,
it.
Is this mediocre white man worth losing my life?
There are many pilots in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Go find another one.
But, you know, so she's gone. And Pete is ready to move on because he was just following his heart and recognized that his heart took him to some rough places.
Yeah. Because, you know, his heart doesn't know what it's doing. He shouldn't follow his heart from here on out.
Maybe confused.
Yeah. He's a confused heart. Yeah. He's like looking at all of these good hearts in the chests of these women. I mean, sorry, these beautiful hearts in the chests of these good women.
And the chests.
Yeah. And the chests themselves. Also very good. Very good. And his own heart needs some examining, what I think.
He's looking sadder and sadder.
I wish he would just work more from the brain, less from the heart.
Yeah, you know what? Good call. We need some more Pilot Pete brain power happening.
Come on, Pete.
I just want to point out that giant bandage he had on his head throughout the entire episode.
We will get there.
Okay, sorry.
I jumped the gun.
I can't wait to talk about it.
We're still in Cleveland.
Okay, right. We're in Cleveland. Sorry.
But again, not good for brain activity. So. but yeah, he says he doesn't want to come off wishy-washy. Too bad, Peter. Too late.
You're extremely wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he sensed that Natasha was not happy with him. As the only 30-something in the house and a woman who has dated in New York, she's not here to fucking waste time.
No. She's very self-possessed.
Yeah, and I like her a lot.
Yeah, he sits down with her and he says, I'm surprised you haven't left me yet.
She's like, sir, I'm very close.
You should be. Yeah. I've thought about it many times.
She's like, everyone has. We're all about to fucking quit this show. You're lucky we signed contracts. And Peter is like, you know, I'm going to go on my apology tour. I deserve to be called out. So he makes up with Tammy. He hears her out. He makes up with Victoria P. He makes up with Deandra. Like, he's really just, like, doing the rounds. Takes a selfie with Hannah Ann, which we know is her, essentially, I mean, if you take a selfie with Hannah Ann, you get on her Instagram, like,
you're done.
That's your ticket to paradise.
She's also bringing back digital cameras. Like, I was very impressed.
True. Yeah, well, I guess they can't have their phones. Yeah.
She will not be denied a selfie
exactly.
in the Bachelor Mansion.
She's like, I don't need Wi-Fi. But give me that little, like, mini Polaroid that they sell at Urban Outfitters.
I'll hire someone to come in and sketch me if I have to.
He sits down with McKenna, too, who's, you know, dancing again. Just more dancing for Peter.
There's a convertible that they found in Cleveland to mirror Lexi's entrance.
That's all that matters for Lexi is just being in a red Corvette.
And then, you know, blessedly, we get to the first rose ceremony. And Chris Harrison pulls Pete aside to chat. Tammy's like, I'm going to set this entire city of Cleveland on fire if I do not get a rose. And at this point, I was like, very on board with Tammy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Poor Tammy had a real rough downfall this 3 hours.
The arc.
But when you track that whole episode, going back to that comment, oh, yeah, you sure burned shit down.
You did.
You burned
it was foreshadowing.
Your relationship with literally everyone on the show to the ground.
And possibly the American public.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, unfortunately. Because I really I was rooting for you, Tammy. Yes.
She was funny and cool.
But at this point, she's still funny and cool.
Yeah. Right.
So
they get to the rose ceremony. Everyone just wants to move forward. They're like, let's move on from Alea. And Pete's like, look, I'm not perfect. But my wife, she's out there. It's just been tough. And he's like, guys, thank you for all of your truth, all the many various truths that you feel in your heart.
Your version of truth, whatever that may be.
I appreciate it. I can't discern the difference, but I'm thankful. And then we get to the roses.
And they go to Madison, Sydney, Natasha, Lexi, Hannah Ann, Sheehan, McKenna, Victoria P., Kelly, and Tammy.
And Victoria F. and Kelsey already have roses from previous dates. So that means we are saying goodbye to Deandra, Kiara, and Savannah. Really getting down to the wire with the women of color. They're dropping like flies.
Yep.
It's unfortunate.
That was hard to see.
It was. You truly hate to see it. Like, did you see the SNL pilot hunk?
Yeah, it was great.
Really spot on. They had a line that was like, we're going to just, I'm here to deep kiss all the white girls and like, playfully high-five the black girl.
Oh, my God. It's so true. It's cringy.
It's bad. It's really bad.
It's bad. But, you know, it's time to international travel.
Yeah, lush jungles, the ocean, volcanoes, majestic waterfalls. I don't know what Peter was pitching, but he was pitching Costa Rica.
He's really pitching the waterfalls. He keeps being, he's like, at one point he calls the waterfalls lush, which is not... A descriptor.
Everything was lush.
Usually,
lush jungles, lush ocean.
Like, can water be lush?
The very wet waterfalls.
I'm like, they're super lush.
The lush waterfall. I'm just going to start describing everything as lush. Like the
I support that.
The lush bed sheets that I have tumbled into.
Just a few adjectives he likes, you know?
Yeah. But they're going to Costa Rica. And when the women... arrive in Costa Rica, you know, they do their traditional hola Costa Rica just to, you know, a nod to the culture there.
Yeah, of course.
Because they're trying to assimilate.
Right.
If we know one thing about the Bachelor franchise, it's like
they're perfect at assimilation.
They're really sensitive.
Extremely
to
respectful.
To other cultures.
Of other cultures.
Yeah. It's just the thing that stands out most to me about the franchise.
They blend in anywhere they go.
Yeah. You know, just the traditional 25 blonde women screaming a man's name from a balcony.
One with the Costa Rican.
Exactly.
In front of the lush volcano.
And lush waterfall. So many
I thought it was
things.
Planet Earth at first, though, for real. Some
it
of those shots.
It looked real gorgeous.
Yeah, it looked great.
That is a pretty great first international location.
The villa looks, like, incredible.
The Bachelor has a sick budget.
I mean, they had to bounce back from Cleveland.
Yeah.
But, like, they always do one sort of lame domestic place. But, like, I feel like on The Bachelorette, they go to, like, three sort of mid-tier American cities before they go to the Bahamas.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Except Caitlin Bristow, who just spent her whole season in Ireland.
Poor girl. She had to stay in Ireland for a whole month.
The ones that get cold countries are like, come on.
Our budget was low, so we're just going to stay in one place for the whole
season.
Nyx
was kind of cool. Wasn't he? Was he in like Lapland or something? And they got to go sledding with dogs. I was
that's cool.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But they go to like... It's like, if you want to take me to the Alps, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. No, but for you,
Laura
it would
and
be
I were
like
actually recently in the Alps.
We were.
It was beautiful.
Were we? Yes, the Italian Alps.
The Italian Alps.
You're like, where were we?
I was like, what, when was that? I can't even remember what I did last weekend.
You sound like Kelly. She's exhausted from traveling. She let us know. I'm tired. I am tired of traveling.
I relate to Kelly.
Oh, we'll She's get like, to Kelly.
Kelly is my gal.
Yeah. Oh,
Kelly
same.
And Natasha. I'm basically, after this episode, on board with two of the women and okay with maybe five.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm okay with, maybe one.
Maybe
two.
Two or
like
three.
Like Madison, I'm okay with.
Mm. Yeah.
She's fine. She's fine. Unobjectionable.
She's there.
She's there. Exactly. She's there, and I don't want to like.
She's inoffensive.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, like, that's what I mean. I'm okay. I'm okay with her. So Pete is out here just gazing lovingly, wistfully off the edge of his private infinity pool, you do.
And this is right before
the next time we see him.
Yeah, this seems to be B-roll footage before the women have arrived because he has not had the incident.
The puma attack.
Mm. And so the women arrive, they meet up with Peter, and he just has a very visible, mangled face.
Yeah. Just a nice big bandage right on that forehead.
Right on the noggin.
Some Harry Potter vibes, maybe some you vibes.
Harry Potter had a much more aesthetically pleasing scar.
Unclear if this is self-inflicted from the Alea situation or that he actually had an accident.
Yeah, and so he starts, they're like, what the fuck happened to your face? Yeah. Which is a normal question to ask.
I'm out. All these girls are
really, like, earnestly starts fucking with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But half of them probably believed it for the
they
whole
They believed
story.
Him for way too long.
Frankly, I did too. I'm not going to lie. I was like,
a puma.
Finally, this show gets interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. A puma with a whole camera crew that just like wandered up.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, We did run into a, we've run into a bears. Few bears hiking, and they were fearless.
I thought you were going to say a puma.
Upstairs. No, I wish, but over the summer, we would, like, cross paths with several brown bears.
Yeah,
black
brown
bear.
Or the black,
brown, I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't know. Bears
bear.
Are scary.
Yeah. Bears are scary. They were scary.
They were kind of cute, though. They were babies. But I'm just saying, animals get real, just, I was going to say wild, which seems like an inappropriate.
What you mean to say is wildlife happens.
Yeah, wildlife happens. That's what I meant. Yep. But they believed him about the puma. Laura believed him about the puma also.
Very briefly.
And then he's like, I'm lying. Yeah. And they all just started
laughing. I didn't believe him because this was a story that had been widely reported while filming was happening. Mm. But I was glad we got really to the bottom of it. Because we had heard, like, he fell into a champagne glass. That is the story I had heard, which I was like, was he just very drunk? Was someone, did he trip into a tray? Mm-hmm. It's even better than that. It turns out that he was carrying a glass of a drink, had one sip of it, which is just a cruelty.
Yeah.
Went to get into a golf cart, is so ungainly that he smashed his head into the golf cart, went to, like, check on his head with the hand that the glass was in, and just smashed it into his own head as well as the top of the golf cart.
Stabbed himself in the head.
Who among us has not done this?
I mean, honestly, it was the most I've liked Peter.
It's the most I've ever related to him. Yeah. For sure.
As a fellow, like, long-limbed person.
I'm gangly. I got the long arms, the long legs. I have smashed glasses into my face more times than I can count.
It happens.
Yeah, I saw him on social media being like, I wasn't even drunk. Like, I just was clumsy.
Nope.
Yeah.
And the only footage we get is the camera footage from the hotel, which actually makes it so much better.
Yeah, because it's like a seedy reenactment.
But real. I was like, I need this. This is like To Catch a Predator, but like no predators, just a really, like a 27-year-old who doesn't know how to
like
control his limbs.
Suspect at large.
But I was very surprised the producers or the crew wasn't following him at all minutes to capture that happen in real time.
Well, I guess he was just literally, like, they were on a break day.
Yeah. It was like,
the women were traveling.
In. Yeah.
He'd probably been there for a few hours. He's jet lagged, trying to go, like, enjoy the property.
Yeah.
And he ends up in the hospital with 22 stitches.
Oh, poor guy. We didn't get any hospital footage either. I'm sure there's some. There's got to be something. We got Hannah B.
All
in the hospital.
All we needed was that documentarian style
camera footage,
like security cam footage. Like, bring more of that.
Definitely.
Like, this worked.
I want to see the unstaged moments.
Yeah. Honestly, that's all I keep thinking. I'm like, they keep doing these little things that are really working. And then those great moments are subsumed by these inane fights that last for 2.5 hours.
Yes. His injury was like 2 minutes. That's it. That's all we got.
Right. The best part of the giant bandage on his face was just the absurdity it cast over all the very dramatic conversations he had with it on his face. And the making out in front of the waterfall and the tears. And he's just sitting there with this self-imposed wound.
Gaping wound.
Gaping wound from a golf cart incident.
That's when Sydney like bumped it and he was like, oh. She's so good.
She's like, you're shaking. Are you okay?
He's like, no, I'm
He's like, no,
okay.
I've recently been in the hospital undergoing surgery.
Yeah,
not
poor guy,
surgery,
too.
Stitches.
You know, you never want to do a photo shoot with a bandage on your head like that.
Oh, man, he's in Cosmo with a full head wound. You know, that's the most I've enjoyed Pete. Like,
yeah. Agreed.
It's relatable. He's a really good sport about it. And so after this whole reenactment recounting of this injury, we get the first one-on-one. Sydney is whisked away in a helicopter and Kelsey starts getting really upset, which continues this small sort of not that notable upset continues the entire rest of the episode.
The one line, I didn't take notes from this episode. The one line I felt compelled to write down was when Kelsey was crying and talking about Sydney while Sydney was on her one-on-one. And Kelsey said,
greatest line.
I really like her. She's super cool, but she's a dramatic fucking bitch.
Kelsey has chaotic energy.
It's a lot.
It makes pretty good TV.
Is it like chaotic neutral?
I think it might be chaotic evil. I think it's chaotic evil.
Yeah. Kelsey is interesting.
No, you know what? Kelsey actually oscillates back and forth between chaotic evil and chaotic good. That's why it's very confusing.
True. Just like, where do you land? Like, I don't even know where you come from.
It's just incredible to watch Kelsey call someone else dramatic after she had an existential crisis meltdown for 4 days over a champagne bottle.
Yeah. It's rough.
Yeah.
And I mean, also, over that champagne bottle, she seems to be over all of that because her and Hannah Ann were very close this episode having heart to heart.
I think they rebounded that beef, which fair enough.
Because
Hannah Ann is not a champagne stealer.
No. No, I am not a champagne stealer.
She's proved it. She has not stolen any more champagne.
True.
But meanwhile, Pete and Sydney are having a pretty good date. They go on this helicopter ride. It honestly, it does look completely stunning. I would like to go to Costa Rica. And then they land, and Pete carries Sydney on his back over to a beautiful picnic. And he's like, this girl, she's mysterious. Know why she's mysterious, Pete?
Because she's not white.
She's not white, and you've hardly spoken to her.
Yeah.
It creates an era of mystery, generally, when you don't know someone at all.
Exactly. I don't know the person I'm dating. They are a big
question mark. Yeah, I'm like, it's so weird, Sydney. Have you ever been told you're real mysterious by men who have had 2 to 4 conversations with you?
Yeah. And she's like, you know what? Yes.
I'm like, yeah, this you are a woman of color growing up in a very white Alabama town. So I'm honestly not surprised.
But yes, they do talk about their backgrounds. And Peter, of course, has to throw in that, you know, you're biracial. I'm German and Cuban, so.
Yeah.
Which.
He is.
He is. And clearly his mother's Cuban heritage is really important to his family. He speaks quite a bit of Spanish.
His Spanish sounds great.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. It seems to be. He seems to at least understand very well.
Which I don't think she did understand him.
She said she must. She was like, yeah. And then, yeah.
She spoke Spanish and she kissed him.
She did say, I speak very little. I speak a little. You know, sure. She said her mother is white, blonde. Her father is Afro-Dominican. But she also didn't really have a relationship with her father.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not as though she seems to have spent a lot of time with, like, her Dominican family.
Right.
Yeah, I think she said she was 4 years old. When he left. And she said she's raised by her mother.
She's seen her father 5 times in her life. Yeah, so, like, that's not super significant.
Yeah.
But she does talk about her childhood. It does, you know, that sounds really, really difficult. Being mixed race in Alabama, she felt like she had a target on her back, which, again, not a leap to imagine.
Yeah, not surprising at all.
No. And she calls, you know, high school the worst years of her life. She said she got called an Oreo.
She didn't get to go to prom.
She says she didn't go to prom or homecoming, which we will discuss in a minute. And she says, you know, she ate lunch in the bathroom stall senior year. She chokes up. And, like, I want to be clear. Like, I'm not questioning that she clearly has experienced some really traumatic racism and bullying.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not surprising.
Yeah.
It frustrated me that Pete's response was he seemed to be really surprised by this. He was like, wow, it makes me so angry that that kind of stuff still goes on. I'm like, racism?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I too am angry that racism still exists, but it's not a surprise.
Right.
No. And he's just like, I'm
so sorry
to hear that.
I think Pete discovered racism last night, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. He did seem a little bit oblivious to realities outside of his own. But then again, you know, it is a tough position to be on TV and
having to react
to that conversation in the right way.
Absolutely.
You know, like, he's not going to be like, yeah, sounds about right for Alabama. You know, like, what's he going to say? Yeah, I don't know. That's tough.
I think that you're right. I should give him more credit for there's not really a great way to respond to that, especially. Yeah. And we've talked about this before, especially when these disclosures are always happening when he doesn't even know these women that well. They don't know him that well. So it's sort of like,
and he doesn't have time to prepare what he's going to say in response to that.
Yeah. It's like, it's like their first dates over and over again. He's just
getting
to know
them. And they cut
it
down. I mean, normally you'd be like, I'm so like, wow, that sounds like a lot. Like, let's dig into, like, tell me more about that. I want to hear more about that. Like,
yeah.
But they sort of default to a few tropes, like bachelors tend to. It's not just Pete, you know, wow, that made you so strong. That racism made you so strong.
I'm amazed by your strength.
I can see why you are the way you are. Yeah. Thank you for opening up to me.
Thank you for opening up to me about the racism. Yeah. Like, it just, it feels very
formulaic.
Weird and formulaic. I can't totally blame him because he's within the structure of this show. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it just shows why this show kind of still struggles to... Like, I think it's good that they are featuring conversations that address the realities.
It's just not the best forum to dig into the nuances of racial injustice.
No, exactly.
And we can only
I don't know what the answer is, but,
you
know, that's why we pick apart this show, because it gives us kind of an alleyway into being able to dig into some of these things, even if The Bachelor does it extremely inartfully.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also say that there has been some stuff floating around Twitter where some people who went to high school with Sydney were posting some screenshots from her yearbook. Yeah. And again, I want to preface this with saying this does not mean that she did not experience racism. I'm not questioning that experience of hers.
Yeah.
But she did say, like, I didn't go to homecoming.
It seemed like she did.
I had a target on my back.
Yeah.
They are tweeting photos of her, like, literally in, like, prom and homecoming court.
Yes.
She's the top beauty of her class 1 year, like all over the yearbook, getting awards for being beautiful and popular.
Whoa. Wearing crowns.
Like many crowns.
Interesting.
So you're like,
So it just makes, it just makes you wonder.
It raises
questions. We don't have answers. I'm not discounting her experience as a woman of color in Alabama. But it does raise questions.
But perhaps, perhaps she fibbed a few of these
Perhaps she exaggerated the extent to which she was totally isolated and no one affirmed her ever in high school.
Yeah.
Maybe there were 1 or 2 years where she didn't go to homecoming and then she figured it out and made some friends.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
And became the...
We'll give her the benefit of the doubt.
The top beauty. Literally the top beauty, which also I'm like, I'm very upset that a high school has a top beauty
Yikes.
Contest in like 2013.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ugh. Gross.
That makes everybody feel good.
It's real gross.
Wait, she was in high school in 2013?
She's very young. She's 24. She's 24, Laura.
Ooh, okay.
Very young.
Mm-hmm.
She And also something that they have not addressed is that she and Hannah Brown, same age, went to the same high school.
Yeah, same town.
Yeah.
Oh, so they were in the same class?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Which is odd that it's never been brought up.
Yeah.
There have been rumblings about various things, but I haven't been able to confirm any of them, so I don't even
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
we
just
got
to talk to Hannah B. about it if she ever talks about it. But then they go straight to the jacuzzi. Lots of jacuzzi time. This actually reminded me a little bit of Hannah B. and Peter in the sauna.
Yeah. You know what? Peter likes to just get into
He's
it.
He's a sexual
and I,
man.
And I appreciate that.
He is a passionate sexual man.
Yep.
Look, you're dating these people. You got to figure out if there's physical chemistry. I respect it.
They're hot. You're hot.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, Sydney is fucking stunning. Yeah.
Very hot.
He told her she's the best kisser, too, and she seemed surprised.
I thought that was a bold statement to make this early. I'm like, what? What if you don't end up with her?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking that last night. Like, whoever he ended up with, if it's not Sydney,
is like,
watching
well,
that
you,
being like wanting to punch him in the face.
Yeah. Soft lips?
That's
fuck
painful.
You.
Yeah, that's real painful.
But yeah, their physical chemistry is on fire.
And Peter is like, after this stripping down and making out in a waterfall, all I know is that we both have huge hearts.
Yep. Mm. And we have so much love to give.
So much love to give. They have a lot of physical chemistry. They look great. You know, good for them. She gets the rose.
Hooray.
Sydney lives to see another day.
Mm-hmm.
Back at the house.
Kelsey's still breaking down. She's...
Kelsey is really... Yeah. Really freaking out, which it's hard to talk about this because I kept bouncing back and forth how I felt about any one of these women.
Mm-hmm.
And the edit Kelsey is getting, I feel like they're only airing footage of her crying to like increase this idea that she is sort of unhinged.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also want to say, as someone who cries constantly,
same.
I'm always sensitive
to
women being shamed for crying.
Exactly.
Yeah. I also think there is sort of a dynamic happening here where, like, as a white blonde woman, Kelsey is allowed to express those emotions and have them take up quite a bit of space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, as a white woman, I have that privilege, too. And I think that women of color, especially on this show, do not have that space.
Yeah.
And so I understand why there would be frustration, why there would be a lot of, like, annoyance among women about someone who is not really, you know, we see Tammy kind of trying to comfort Kelsey and say, like, hey, this is really hard for everyone. This is, has an end time. And Kelsey just, like, will not, cannot really see outside of herself. Right. So the annoyance makes sense.
Yes. Totally.
I think the response to that annoyance.
She shouldn't have brought it
bad.
To Peter.
Right. Yeah. And we'll get there. But first, a group card. We'll get there, but first, a group date card arrives.
Yes, and it goes to Sheehan, Kelsey, Victoria F., Madison, Natasha, Victoria P., Lexi, Hannah Ann, Tammy, and McKenna. That is a big group. And let's capture our love today. And here we go. We're going to this great Cosmo photo shoot because, again, this is the season of influencers. How can we propel these girls to be bigger social media stars? Let's give them a Cosmo photo spread.
You know what? I respect it. Then Kelly is left to get the one-on-one. And, man, do I love Kelly.
Oh, okay. She's great.
I want to hang with Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
She says to the camera, which is bold, because usually women who aren't sure how they feel about The Bachelor don't really admit it, because you know it will probably be edited. You won't necessarily come off that well. Kelly's just looks at the camera and is like, I don't really know what's going to happen on this date, because, like, I don't have some sob story I need to get off my chest that will make him understand me better.
Right.
And I loved that.
Because it's so true.
Well, and it's not the fault, of course, of these women who have experienced things that they want to share with him. But it becomes this formula where it's like, you got a date, you got to tell him your darkest secret.
Perform.
Because now is the only time. You have to perform that, like, depth, perform that interest in him. And Kelly is kind of worried that she doesn't have anything to perform.
Yeah. And she's skeptical of the process, which I would be, too. Like,
but I would also hide in a corner and try to just, like, I don't think I'd do it successfully because I'd be crying all the time, but I would aspire to be Kelly.
But also just imagine being in this season and being someone like Kelly. Like, it's got to be just exhausting. Like, it's nonstop.
Oh my God.
It's been nonstop
for
all these
girls.
She is
clearly different from the other women, and she sees that, and she's trying to just, like, ride the ride without making any waves.
Yeah.
At this point, she doesn't seem too into it.
No, so we're like, okay, we're going to get back to that one-on-one later. This is when we get that Tammy chat with Kelsey, and Kelsey's like, there's never going to be an end to this. This is also where she says that iconic line about Sydney, just very chaotic energy.
Yeah.
And Tammy looks at the camera and is like, I didn't even cry this much when my grandpa died.
Oh, God.
Which,
but again, we were still into Tammy at this point.
That was funny. Again, if you're just shading someone a little bit to the camera, like, that's funny.
Yeah, like, I don't mind when people poke fun at me when I cry. Fine. That was a dramatic thing I was crying about, whatever.
Yeah. Also, like, again, you're living in close quarters with people. You don't have the same way of expressing your emotions. You're going to get annoyed.
Right. Yeah.
These women as a whole don't seem to be able to separate annoyance from, like, belief that a woman has no right to be in the house. You know, it felt like the same thing with Alea, where it's like, well, I don't like Alea, so therefore she's fake and a bad person, rather than just maybe you're just annoyed by her because you don't find her a pleasant or interesting person to be around.
Right. Yeah. That doesn't mean you need to warn Peter about her.
Yeah.
Right.
Just like, you don't have to like everyone.
Yeah.
And Tammy, this is where she starts to kind of take a turn. She's like, I'm a tough bitch. I wouldn't sit here and mope around about imaginary problems. Kelsey would go home right now if Peter saw how crazy she was.
Mm. The C word.
I don't like when women call other women crazy.
We don't use the C word.
A lot. We do not use that C word. We don't use the other C word.
Men use it enough on us. We don't have to use it on each other.
That's exactly.
Right. Like, I don't think that someone responding in an emotional way to a really crazy locked box situation,
which is designed to draw out tears and emotions.
Yeah.
Like, and she was just on a one-on-one. Like, she just has all these new emotions that she didn't have for Peter, and now she's watching someone else go on a one-on-one. Like, you can understand it. And then being also, in this house
and being
these
a
women.
Little drunk, which also these women are being supplied with alcohol.
Yeah.
That is part of this.
And they're not doing anything else. They don't have phones. They, like,
there's
don't have
literally
anything to do.
Nothing to do
but
except
drink,
talk shit, and think about how
much you
either
like Peter.
Are or are not going to be with Peter.
Yeah.
That's it. So we get to the group date. All of those women that Lee read off their names, we don't need to do it again, go, and they are all dolled up, and they're in the jungle. And they're like, what are we doing? I hope we don't have to bruise ourselves again.
I hope for their sakes, yeah. too.
Peter comes out and he's like, don't worry. This is not a physical challenge. Yeah. Like, they must have all breathed a sigh of relief. Some of them were, you know, out here wearing, like, platforms. So I'm sure they were
Thank
relieved.
God.
But it turns out that the Cosmopolitan editor-in-chief, Jessica Pels, and Tyler Joe, photographer, are there to do a fashion shoot for Cosmo, which is actually pretty cool.
Extremely cool. I would love that.
Yeah, they get to pick out, they get to style themselves, pick out their own bathing suits. They
With
all
Peter's help, of course.
Well, why would you want to put on a bathing suit if not for the sake of a man?
Yeah, exactly.
The male gaze.
Yeah. Every time, I mean, that's what I do. I
and like, don't pick the one you like, pick the one
he
likes.
I order a swimsuit and I'm like, who gives a fuck if I'm comfortable in this?
Yeah.
Let me pull a random man.
So some of those swimsuits looked like they had wild tan line situations.
Yeah. Just you wouldn't wear those on the beach.
I mean, I have really been...
Massive triangles down your torso situation.
A lot of cutouts. This is like, I always am confused by, like, all of these women go on, like, Revolve and Boohoo, like, branded trips, and they're always wearing these swimsuits that have, like, wild, tiny strings crisscrossed across their whole body, but then also, like, one tiny strip over their entire labia, and I'm like, what? Like,
no.
How is this a How is this design?
I mean, also, take is a that nap comfortable?
No, it's not. It's not. Even if you have not 1 ounce of body fat on you, that is not. You don't need like one single string up your labia. Yeah. Like, that's not comfortable.
Labia floss.
Labia floss.
3 times a day.
Oh, God.
Labia floss is the new do thing. Both are bad. Don't do it.
Hashtag ad.
Yeah. And then we get a little clip, which annoyed me, Victoria F. being like, I wish I like didn't eat yesterday.
Yeah, I should have eaten everything I had yesterday.
Why? I'm like, no, you honestly, you should feed yourself.
Yeah, just eat whatever the
and
F
also,
you want.
They're all extremely thin. There is no body diversity on this show.
Mm-mm.
Very, very Ever. Little. Yeah.
I mean... Body diversity within a very small range of thinness.
Right. Of conventionally attractive.
Yeah, conventionally attractive.
A small range.
Thinness. Yeah, very small range. And they learn, these women learn, Jess Pels will be selecting someone to be on the digital cover of Cosmo with Peter. All the women want to win this one.
Oh, yeah, they like, want it.
So we get, they do start doing a photo shoot. I was a little unclear how these
pairings
groups were,
right?
were set up. Lexi and Natasha went
looked
together.
Which, so
they looked
good.
Amazing.
Oh,
like my,
they were hot.
New
amazing.
York City gals.
Yeah.
Honestly, you probably aren't going to end up with Peter. Better to have like a sick ass photo of yourself with another woman.
Yeah.
And not with Peter.
They look gorgeous. Like, and apparently so Natasha just found a random fern on the ground and stuck it in her hair, and it looked like the coolest accessory I've ever seen.
She looked amazing. They looked
amazing.
They
both looked so good. Yeah. Also, both of their swimsuit choices were very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They killed it.
They
should be on the digital cover.
New York. Also, it was like, grab that, put that on your Instagram.
Right?
Put that on your, like, Raya profile.
Seriously. Petition to get Busted Peter off the digital cover and Natasha and Lexi on. Yeah.
Shannon Madison also go and look fantastic
together.
These were the photos I loved. And then we get a few goofy ones of various groups of women with Peter. And, of course, Hannah Ann grabs him to make out. Directly in front of all the other women.
Victoria F. does the same thing.
It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm over it. And I would be annoyed, too, because I would never be the one to do that.
But no.
I would be Tammy making the, like, awkward face in front.
Yeah, in the front.
And then I would be McKenna and go cry. Like, I would be both of them.
I would be just, like, planking in the lush waterfall.
Yeah, I would just be hanging out with Natasha and Lexi. Just, like,
doing, like,
ferns.
Cannonballs.
Yeah.
And then... Jess announces the winner,
mm-hmm.
and it goes to Victoria F. So this is where we gotta give a little aside and context on what happened, because as some people noticed last night, there was no cover of Victoria F. and Peter. You know, they do a sexy photo shoot, the two of them. And my first thought when I saw this happen, I was like, oh, man, they picked the White Lives Matter girl for the cover. This is like a terrible... PR situation, unbeknownst, like PR situation for Cosmo.
Oh, yeah. And
like,
then you immediately jumped to reporting, though, Emma, last night. Man, when we were taking notes and on Twitter, Emma just jumped. She's just like, this can't happen. Like, this is a White Lives Matter model. Like, they're not going to run this cover.
And she was correct.
And she was correct.
So Jessica Pels released a statement that was published last night, and she did not mince words. You know, she says, It wasn't until a few weeks ago that I found out that the woman I'd chosen had in her past modeled in an ad campaign wearing White Lives Matter attire. It's been reported that what she modeled for was actually a Marlin Lives Matter organization focused on preventing white and blue marlin from being overfished. In my view, the nature of the organization is neither here nor there. Both phrases and the belief systems they represent are rooted in racism and therefore problematic. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Unequivocally, the White Lives Matter movement does not reflect the values of the Cosmo brand. We stand in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter and any cause that fights to end injustices for people of color. My team and I had many long discussions about how we wanted to address this issue. We had already printed the fashion shoot in our March issue, complete with an inset of the cover, and of course the episode had already been filmed. Ultimately, what felt right was choosing not to publish the digital cover on our website or social feeds and simply being honest with you, the audience we respect, about what happened and where we stand. Mm-hmm. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah,
great statement. Great statement.
Good for Cosmo. Good for not backing down on your values. Mm-hmm. I mean,
did Victoria respond?
No, and ABC has not acknowledged this at all, which is, again, par for the course.
Classic.
Of course,
very classic. But I kind of love this because of the fact that another news organization was involved and did respond. This is now fair game to be talked about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is out there in the public record.
Mm-hmm.
And I do hope that perhaps this forces The Bachelor to address that.
Yeah.
Because I think it is pretty egregious whether or not Victoria was just doing something incredibly ignorant. Like, that level of ignorance is not acceptable.
Yeah.
And that is still racism.
Yeah.
Like, that level of, if you don't understand the seriousness of police brutality, of the Black Lives Matter movement, then, like, that in itself is ignorance and racism.
Yeah.
And so I'm really glad to see that they address that. We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we have a whole lot more of this Tammy Kelsey mess. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it's, I mean, it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And now back to the show.
We get to the night portion of the date. And of course, none of this has happened in the world of the date. And Hannah Ann is like, I'm getting this group date rose because I have my group rose ring on, which I didn't know was a thing.
Yeah, me neither. It's like when the Jonas Brothers wore their chastity rings. Apparently, there's a group rose ring.
This is also when we get another really frustrating moment from Victoria F. She pulls, you know, Peter pulls her aside and he's like, you know, I know it was your birthday. I was going to wish you happy birthday
tonight.
Did he
know, though? I don't know. I don't know.
She sort of alluded to it. And then he was like, I did know. So he must have known because she didn't actually say it. And she's like, I'm 26. It's really depressing. And then Peter's like, well, I'm 28 and I'm a grandfather. And I was like, fuck you all.
This is when I was just like, really? Oh.
That's when I finished my bottle of wine.
And opened the next one. I was just like, guys, do we really have to do this? Like, 26 is now an age we're fearing?
Yeah.
Well, in Bachelor world, it's like 60.
Yeah. It's true.
I guess you're like already basically a cougar at 26.
That's when you start to get special benefits.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're in your 30s,
discounted.
They like send you your AARP card. And they're like, welcome.
Discounted Broadway tickets.
Discounted flight to paradise. Oh, man. I was just like, wow, do we really?
Yeah, as 30-somethings, it didn't make us feel good about ourselves. But
Hannah Ann and Peter chat. They seem to have a good vibe. Kelsey is not doing well watching Peter kiss other people. She's really doubting herself. And meanwhile, Madison and Peter talk about how comfortable they feel, which I want more from them because clearly they have this really great relationship.
They're the strongest couple in the game right now.
And yet the only thing we see for the past, really since that first date, is Madison and Peter telling each other about how great their relationship is.
Or how great their first date was. Like, remember when we did that?
Remember when you met my parents?
And then they, like, you know, touch noses and, like, stare at each other, and then it switches to someone else.
Yeah.
But they're not showing us enough of, like, how their relationship is even evolving. Like, they're just showing these moments where they're talking about their first date.
A sense of humor?
Exactly.
Do they, like, have deep conversations?
No.
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know anything about anybody.
Kelsey and Peter also have a good exchange where she says, look, I know I wasn't myself today. This has been really hard for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have feelings for you and it, like, really scares me. Which, again, this all seems fine to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, she says she's falling in love with Peter, which, again, it's early but not unheard of for halfway through.
Yeah, and Peter says, like, he's thought about her a lot, and there seems to be definitely a connection between them.
Also, I think we should address that Peter is incredibly insecure, and all he wants is for these women to affirm him.
To be obsessed with him. Yeah.
Yeah, and so this is an energy that he's welcoming.
Yes, yeah.
So if the other women are annoyed by that, like, that is what Peter wants.
Yeah.
At least right now.
Okay, see, like we saw with Kelly, the only time he ever confronts them is when he seems to think there's doubts or they're doubting him. And that's the only time he ever gets, like, serious about the situation of finding a life partner.
He's relieved that Kelsey is just unequivocally into him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tammy, this is where I started to really lose step with Tammy.
Mm.
She talks to Peter and says, you know, Kelsey was drinking and drowning her sorrows. I mean, first she tells this to the other women. And clearly she's actually annoyed that Kelsey was crying about how hard it was for her without acknowledging that it's hard for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But where she takes this is basically implying that Kelsey is emotionally unstable and is an alcoholic.
Yes, and had a mental breakdown.
She uses the words mental breakdown a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really not that appropriate. It, first of all, sort of like made light of mental health issues, which is not cool.
A lot of mental health shaming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like addiction shaming.
Yeah.
The pill popping thing. Are we not there yet?
We'll get there. But we don't even see this happen. But apparently there's also talk of whether Kelsey's pill popping, which is just frustrating on so many levels. And also, like, I understand why if you are actually concerned that someone has, you know, a substance abuse problem, you would want to bring it to someone. But first of all, that should probably be brought to production.
Right.
If that's an actual concern, you're concerned for someone's health mm-hmm. or safety. That's not what happens. And this seems to imply, like, well, if Kelsey has a drinking problem, then she doesn't deserve love. Like, I don't understand what the...
Right.
What are you trying to prove here? Mm-hmm. And Peter, of course, because this is what Peter does. He hears something. He goes right back to the other person to investigate. He's like, Kelsey, I heard you had a mental breakdown.
It's just, it's so bad. I heard, like, quote, I heard you had a little bit of a mental breakdown. Like, what do you do as a woman in that situation when a man just says, I heard from another woman that you had a mental breakdown about me last night? Like, it just
it's
was
mortifying.
It was just gross.
And also, of course, the response is, I had emotions.
Yeah. And she admits, like, maybe I drank a little bit too much, too.
Which, right. again, these but I was women emotional. Are being supplied alcohol. Yeah. I also, and I took some flack for saying this last night because people were pointing out, like, that's still a lot of booze, which I agree. But they are limited to only two drinks an hour. Only, of course, like, I would be tanked. I want to be very clear about mm-hmm. that. I'm not here saying you can't abuse alcohol if you're only having two drinks an hour. But the way that this story got spun... It was conjuring up images of Kelsey, like, hoarding bottles of booze and, like, drinking by herself, sobbing into the bottle. And, like, that just actually is not possible because they limit their alcohol intake to an extent.
Mm-hmm. Right. They're not handing her bottles.
Yeah, it just felt like that was important to note. Not that they couldn't.
And the only evidence, and we've seen people get too drunk on the show. We've seen dudes act like complete idiots. And I mean, the only evidence they showed of Kelsey being drunk was like her crying a little bit. Like she wasn't stumbling. She didn't do anything weird. It was like she cried a little bit.
She wasn't slurring. Yeah.
Right. She wasn't even slurring. So.
And also, again, maybe she was a little drunk, but that doesn't seem disqualifying to me. Lots of people get drunk. Mm-hmm. And Kelsey points out, she's like, I really don't understand why I was even brought up. And Peter's like, well, can you like really handle this? Which is so condescending.
Yeah. Like it's not going to get easier.
And she's like, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know if I'm trying to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like let her make that decision.
Right.
Ugh, Pete just handles all of this so poorly. And I'm not even like a massive Kelsey fan, but I thought she was in the right here.
I respected her when she said, look, I will not apologize for having emotions. I will not be shamed for my emotions. And with regard to the pill popping, I take Adderall and birth control.
I loved
Good
that.
Good for her. Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah. So she goes back to the group and is like, who said I was emotionally unstable? No one owns up to it. So they get into this kind of annoying thing where the other women's annoyance at her, some of it which seems earned, you know, Natasha brings up and she's like, you're not the only one who hasn't had time with him. A lot of us haven't even had one-on-ones. And so it's like frustrating to see you again taking up that much space with your emotions. Mm-hmm. And Kelsey's like, all this has kind of been blown out of proportion, which I agree.
Yes.
And they get into this back and forth in which Natasha's like, look, this is not how I deal with my pain. I deal with my pain by journaling.
Yeah, or being with herself. She's like, you should try that.
And Victoria's like, you have to be a strong woman, which is also weird because what does that mean? But they're having this mismatched exchange because what Kelsey's actually upset about is that someone called her emotionally unstable.
Yeah.
Right.
And no one who is speaking at this time has done that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're just like, yeah, you're kind of annoying.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So where Kelsey does lose me is that she says to them, like, I'm the only one being vulnerable.
Yeah. I'm the only one crying. Like, I'm not going to be ashamed
Again,
of crying.
Again, I am a crier. Yeah. I'm a big crier. That is how I...
But not some just, people aren't.
Not just show like, vulnerability, but anger, frustration.
Yeah.
Some people don't cry at
exactly.
all.
Exactly.
So these things, there's not one... One isn't better than the other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think people should feel free to express their emotions however they want. In an ideal world, that would all be able to, like, be given space and... You know, respected.
Yeah. Right.
But like you said before, it's like instead of just admitting that she's being annoying or they don't like her, they're like, oh, she's the villain. She needs to go or she needs to be out of here. These women aren't like they're not being kind to each other.
No.
They're not trying to even understand each other at all.
No. And then Tammy takes this to another level and is like, what? We're not being vulnerable because we don't cry for 4 hours a day. Like you're drinking yourself to death.
Yeah.
Which, again, is a pretty serious thing to say to someone. And Victoria is just like, everyone, get it together. Like, I'm over this drama, whatever. But this, whatever. I don't even know how to talk about this because this whole exchange is just so off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
Pete comes back and he gives Hannah Ann the rose. Of course, this does not help Kelsey. But I guess we just leave that till the cocktail party.
Mm-hmm. Look, the women start attacking each other when they're insecure about their connection to Peter. The only reason that Tammy went to Peter to talk about Kelsey is because Tammy didn't have anything else to talk to Peter about, and their connection was suffering, and
she's
she was feeling frustrated. The ones like Madison and Hannah Ann who have actual strong connections with Peter,
they don't need to
feel
talk
the
about
need to
else.
Talk about other people.
Yeah. And this is something that happens every season.
Yeah.
And I get that it's hard, but like these gals gotta learn.
They never learn.
It never works.
It goes badly every time for you. It's an own goal. Just don't do it.
And if you guys are all arguing about like how much time you're each getting, then spend your time not talking about the other women. Like try to get to know them. It's just, it's hard, but that's what you have to do. Especially
or don't
though,
go
like,
on the show because you would
it's not
know
for you.
You are self-aware and know you would be terrible on it.
Exactly.
Right. So we go to Kelly's one-on-one date. Wow, I loved this date. This was like a highlight for me of the episode because no one was bickering.
Yeah, it was actually, it felt like, oh my God, we're watching The Bachelor.
A real date,
And I also just love Kelly so much.
Yeah, she's funny.
She's basically like, look, Peter is a guy who checks a lot of boxes. I still have to figure out if I'm into him and how I feel about this.
It was great.
And I haven't had a lot of time to figure that out. And it was just felt really honest. She's wearing some great striped slacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those striped pants,
I was into them. And Peter is just ready to put Kelly on blast this whole date. He's like,
We've plateaued. So many times. Plateau is used too many
times. I really
times.
Need to see a lot from her. Like, he is upset that she is not performing her interest to the level that he deserves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, sir. the thing that wasn't a highlight of this date for me was the, you know, annual cultural exploitation of a travel destination. So they do some sort of a cleansing ritual with a shaman. I can't imagine that this was represented in the most authentic way. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it was. But I always sort of cringe when they do these kind of indigenous rituals
they happen every year.
Mm-hmm.
So my favorite part of this date is when the Kelly asks the shaman if they're on the same level, and the shaman says no, and Peter later tries to frame this as like, you're not on my level, and Kelly's like, no, bitch, you're not on my
level.
You're
not mine.
To be clear,
you're trying to date a 22-year-old who just will like.
To be clear, I am a lawyer. I am ready for marriage. Yeah.
You are the
inviting
one who is
and rewarding drama.
Yeah. Oh, I was so
good. She put
him
in his place. She put him in his place.
I want to hang with Kelly.
She's too good for the show.
She's very real.
Yeah, she's so real.
I'm so on board with her. Oh, man. I love her.
But yeah, like Peter believes anybody he last spoke to, he really believed those candles. Like the male candle was leaning forward. And
he's
her
like,
candle
it.
Was leaning. And that's it. That's the truth.
Mm.
That's the truth.
They do some weird trust exercise, and then they really get to the night portion and get into it. Peter's like, look, Kelly, you've always been honest, so I'm going to be honest with you. You've disappeared, and you need to reassure me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, I haven't really had an opportunity to progress. And he's like, well, that's not true.
Yeah.
It felt like he was being so petty.
Yeah, but he's like, what do you mean? What do you mean you haven't?
You've had plenty of time. Why didn't you fight Hannah Ann to make out with me in front of 25 other women?
Yeah. Other girls say they're in love with me after 5 minutes of conversation, so what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so shocking. I'm like, no, Peter, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
she's being normal.
You have a gem of a woman on this show.
Yeah.
And you're punishing her.
And she's like, listen, I'm just trying to have, like, a good time. I'm trying to have fun. And he's like, I'm not trying to have a fun time. Like, I'm trying to find somebody. And I was
she's
just like,
yes, same, but I want to enjoy myself in that. Like, does this have to
you're
be?
You're dating 13 other women or how many at this point? Like, I'm trying to just have a good time and see where we go. And he was so offended by that.
He's like,
I was
no, like, you need to commit to engagement now. But also, there's a, you know, 12 in 13 chance you won't be engaged to me.
And how dare you bring up Hannah Ann? What is Hannah Ann? I was just like, what the heck is
happening?
That
really got me. The defensiveness where she's like, we are not the same.
Yeah.
Like, and she's,
we're different women.
And she wasn't trying to insult Hannah Ann. She's saying, like, we're not at the same point in our lives.
Yeah.
She's
right.
23. She lives with her parents.
She's an Instagram model.
Like, and she's like, I really like her. We're friends.
She's great.
But I am in my late 20s. I work at a law firm. Like, I'm, you know, settled in my own life.
Yeah.
And so I'm confused about what you want because you seem to be into people who want very different things from what I want, which felt like a really valid concern.
Yeah.
And then she starts saying, like, you're rewarding the drama.
Rewarding
like, you
the
just
drama.
Cut it. Cut the drama.
And I then thought Pete did not engage with this at all.
No.
I thought he was really defensive in a way that I found pretty disappointing.
Yeah. It's like, I told you I was trying to figure my shit out. And
you're
she's like,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. So same.
Yeah.
And also, clearly, you don't know what you want then.
Right.
If you're figuring it out and you're not sure if what you want is this thing that, like, is very different from what I want, then I'm allowed to have concerns.
Yeah.
Right.
Ugh, I just loved this. And then he, you know, makes her basically promise that she actually wants a relationship, which was never in question. She's like, yeah, I want a relationship that I feel good about.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, good, because, like, I'm looking to be challenged. Like, I'm ready for marriage. Like, I'm looking for someone to challenge
like,
me.
No, and she's don't. Like, no, you aren't. You're looking to be affirmed, Pete.
Yeah.
You don't want to be challenged at all. No. You want a 22-year-old Instagram
model. To love
model
you inside and out.
Who will tell you after 5
heart.
Minutes that you have a beautiful heart and they will marry you.
Yeah.
Like, also, Pete doesn't really seem to challenge her.
No.
There is not 1 ounce of challenge in that man. And
except
I like
with
Pete.
Golf carts. He's super challenging.
Moving his body is a challenge. Except, well, not sexually. So it's good
true.
For you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But he really wants a wife.
A pilot wife.
A pilot wife.
Which and Kelly is not.
He gives her the rose, but seems to still have some concerns. But
and the music is signaling, like, there might be rough waters
rough
ahead.
Waters
rough
ahead.
Skies ahead.
But for now, there's just a lush waterfall
mm-hmm.
with a hot tub, hot spring attached to
a
it.
A lush hot tub.
Yeah, a very lush hot tub. And Kelly's sticking around.
Yep.
Back at the house.
Oh, God.
The Kelsey-Tammy drama continues.
Oh, does it? Oh, I thought it ended here.
Yeah, if only. Kelsey seems to have pulled Tammy aside, which I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good move. She seems to think, I'll pull Tammy aside. I'm trying to just squash this. And it goes terribly.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, Tammy, do you have a problem with me? I'm trying to understand what that is. We, you know, we don't all have to be best friends, but we need to live together. And Tammy's like, look, I did talk to Peter about you, but it was really about me.
Yeah.
And Kelsey,
it was about me was about having me. Feelings about how much you drink.
Yeah.
It was about a lot of
it
feelings.
Was about me telling Peter that you're sucking my time and energy. She's like, I can't
I
think
just,
about you because I'm too busy.
I care about you
thinking about your
much.
Well-being.
And that's the problem. Kelsey then does call her honey, which felt a little condescending.
Oh, yeah.
And Tammy just loses it. She's like, Kelsey, she basically implies Kelsey has been in an extended alcoholic blackout.
Yeah, not great.
And Kelsey rightly kind of says, look, why does it bother you so much that I'm emotional? Like, explain that.
Yeah, it's none of your business.
And Tammy, instead of just saying, it bothers me because I feel like you're taking up all this space and I have not been able to take up space, says, well, I'm just concerned for you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just such obvious bullshit.
Yeah.
Again, if you're concerned about her health, you would maybe have a conversation with her or a conversation with production,
mm-hmm.
not a conversation with Peter.
Right.
That you hope to hide from her.
You're trying to sabotage her.
Yeah. And this just ends terribly. Tammy ends it by saying, you know, do you really think that drinking yourself away is a smart until you cry is a smart way to deal with your emotions?
Just judgy.
Just really judgy and gross. And then she says, you can continue to cry and wither away in bottles of wine. I'm done.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's bad. Tammy went from high on the totem pole for fans to very, very low. Yeah.
That was Tammy's downfall.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah, Tammy recounts all of this to Lexi and Victoria F. and keeps talking about how Kelsey is having mental breakdowns. She says Kelsey's lucky to still be there. She calls Kelsey crazy. At one point, she says to the camera, like, if Pete sees the sides of Kelsey, he'll send her back, like, way the fuck back to wherever the fuck Iowa is because she's nuts. It was just unnecessarily mean at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I really, as someone who has struggled with mental health issues, I really, really take issue with women calling other women crazy, nuts, mentally unstable. It's just such a way to undercut women's valid emotions. And not to say that, like, all of these emotions are valid or being expressed in the right ways. Or the annoyance isn't warranted, but just don't call another woman crazy.
No.
Right.
It's gross. And it is, that language is really weaponized against women.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Kelsey is honestly smartly like, I'm going to get ahead of this. This is clearly something that's going to be brought up to Pete. So I'm going to go have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
And again, these women all get mad about it. Production let her do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like she just could have asked. Any of them could have asked.
Was
going.
She didn't just trot on over to his hotel room on her own.
Kelsey's like, I know exactly where he is.
Yeah. Yeah. So she talks to Peter and she's like, look, I think this small thing has been blown out of proportion. I was crying, but I'm falling in love with you and I don't want to share that with everyone else. And I've really made an effort to apologize to most of the women, but like, these things have been said about me, including that I have a drinking problem, that I'm pill popping, and I just want you to know that that's not the case. Yeah. I have drank, maybe I drank a bit too much, but like, I want to get ahead of this. Yeah. And Peter basically says, I think he's learned from the Alea thing. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you know what? I don't care. I like you.
Yeah.
Case closed. Mm-hmm. Which is fair.
Yeah.
And then he gives Kelsey the rose.
Yeah, he says, I don't need a rose ceremony to tell you how much I feel about
it. And
this.
I really like, just put a target on her.
Right. Yeah. I felt for Kelsey in this moment. Because I believe she didn't go over there seeking a rose.
No.
No.
Also, we have to acknowledge that it's 50-50 when you pull a move like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've seen plenty of women go to talk to the lead, and then they end up going home.
Yeah.
It's like, if the lead really likes you, you stay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If the lead is not that into you, this will be the end of your time.
Yes.
It happened to Elise. It happened to Demi, right? Went home with... Yeah. It's happened a lot. So Kelsey kind of heads back. And again, to her credit, she's like, I got a rose. I just went to talk to him. I don't want to lie to anyone. I don't want to hide it.
See, and I would have to my room and hid too. That rose and been like...
I would have stuffed it in
too.
My pants.
I thought, yeah. I kind of respected it. I respected this move. Yeah, the other women already like dressed for the cocktail party.
Like, it was nice to be honest, but it was like you said, it's a target.
Yeah.
And now they're going to blame her, which they do.
But it would have happened anyway. And she would have had to bring the rose to the cocktail party. So, like, she was smart
was
to
no
just get ahead of it.
Yeah.
There was no hiding it. All the other women are, again, I understand, like, annoyed that Kelsey got this extra time, was rewarded for it. They all are really tense. They're all just starting to kind of lose it.
Yeah. And then the thunderstorm breaks out and it's just
And they
super
show up
tiny.
To what's supposed to be the cocktail party and Chris Harrison comes in.
Chris, where you
which
been?
You know
How
is
are
bad.
You?
You know it's a bad sign. He's like, Pete has clarity. Cocktail party's canceled. None of y'all got your time.
Yeah. Ooh. McKenna is not happy.
McKenna has been like
McKenna.
Hanging
She's
on
She's like,
by a
I
thread.
Had something big to tell him. Like how Kelly said she has nothing big to tell him. Well, McKenna has something to tell him. And
I'm
now
like,
I'm very curious
it?
About what it is. Because you're 22. And that's great, but I want to know what your big life story is.
She's a 22-year-old fashion blogger. Yeah, so I'm like, what is the... I'm curious. I really would like to know more about her. I'd honestly like to know more about most of these women.
Yeah.
Because I know nothing about them.
We'll get there. Never. Yeah.
So Kelsey reassures the women again. She apologizes, which she didn't need to do. Mm-hmm. It's not her decision. It's Peter's decision. He knows who he likes. That's on him. Mm-hmm. If he wanted to give these other women time, he would. Yeah. He didn't want to. But Kelsey clearly feels responsible. She feels bad. She's apologizing to all of them. She is honest. She says, I didn't talk a bunch of shit. I didn't say anyone's name. The only thing I brought up was that Tammy had said I had a drinking problem, which she did.
She did.
Yeah. She did.
She was honest about what they talked about.
Yeah.
And again, Natasha's annoyed. McKenna's annoyed.
But of course, to the other girls, it's like she snuck away. She had one-on-one time. She changed his mind because they all see how quickly Peter's mind can be changed by a little conversation.
And at this point, Tammy is freaking out because she's thinking, okay, if something was said about me, I'm about to get sent home.
Mm-hmm.
So she asks again, what exactly did you say about me? And again, Kelsey tells her, like, you know, I mentioned the pill popping. And Tammy tries to say,
I never said that.
And this is where Kelsey says, like, look, yes, I take pills. They're Adderall and birth control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other girls actually tell Tammy, too. Like, we were in the room when you said
that.
You
heard you say that.
You said it.
You said she was pill popping.
Yeah.
Tammy says she kind of had gotten this from Victoria P., which maybe Victoria P. had made some sort of offhand comment about, like, I saw her taking pills. But, like, clearly, Victoria P. is kind of like, this was a small thing.
Yeah.
It was you turned it into something that was an issue that needs to be gossiped about.
Yeah, don't get me into this drama.
Also, I feel like Victoria P. is the wrong person to, like, involve in. Clearly, she's actually the one of I shouldn't say the only one who knows the rest of the women, but she's been open about the fact that she's lived around addiction.
Yeah.
So her being sensitive to that
yeah.
makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
But clearly, if she wasn't really gossiping about it, or else we probably would have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And Lexi is kind of tries to be like, guys, this fight is dumb and it's affecting all of us. And then for some reason, Sydney starts to fight with Tammy.
Yeah. And then it gets bad.
Really bad. Tammy tries to again frame it that she was just concerned for Kelsey.
Like, Peter needs to know she has alcoholic tendencies. I was like, well, again, so no.
Someone he does, getting too like, drunk
that's
once.
That's a big word to throw
yeah,
around.
Yeah, it's yeah. a big word.
For one night.
And then Sydney starts saying, well, like, I would never do this, which is ridiculous because she did.
She just did it.
But she didn't
again,
say Alea's name.
This is what I'm starting to see. Like, yes, you know, Sydney. There's definitely something with Sydney. It seems like, I know Tammy pointed out that she's friends with a lot of girls in the house and her posse and all that. But they're, you know, Sydney in this moment, too,
look,
they're both, they're teaming up. Like, they're all just fighting. It's
they're
just,
all
there's
being
no
cruel.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
yeah it's just.
There's team no one here.
Yeah, it's not a good look for any of them.
No, Sydney starts being pretty harsh and cruel towards Tammy.
Yeah.
Tammy is being pretty mean back to Sydney, mean to Kelsey. Like, it's just.
That's crazy. You're a psycho.
Yeah, Sydney
you're
calls
a diva.
Tammy
shut the fuck up.
A psychopath.
Yeah.
Which, again, that's gross, too.
Yeah, we don't use the P word either.
No.
Yeah.
It's a variations on a theme here. They're all just like, this woman's crazy. She's a bitch. She's a psycho bitch. Like, it felt real
she's
gross.
She's like, yo, you're a psycho. You're a psycho. And I was just like,
no.
Just stop all of this.
Yeah.
Just stop. It's.
McKenna
what episode are
speaks
we on?
For all of us when she says, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I'm so exhausted. And at this point, we're on hour three. So
are we.
Wow. Yeah.
And everyone is just on edge and crying at this point. And Tammy announces, you know, I'm not here to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
rough
Tammy.
Rough Tammy. Thanks,
clearly
Tammy.
Referencing your podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, this is about us.
Guess she's not coming on.
Finally, blessedly, we get the fucking rose ceremony. I'm so sorry, Nick and Sarah. We're still talking about this. Peter arrives.
He's got the clarity he needs.
He's got clarity.
It's tough for him, but, like, it's just struck him. The clarity
has arrived. At least he's
learned
something, which is do not engage.
Yeah.
Do not engage.
Just stick to your decisions. Kelly, Kelsey, and Hannah Ann already have roses, and I am starting to think it's going to happen. We're going to get this rose ceremony.
And Sydney has one, too, right? Yeah.
Oh, does Sydney have one?
Mm-hmm. Yep, from her one-on-one.
Right. I forgot. Too many roses.
But just when we think Peter's, you know, he's going to start handing out roses, Tammy pulls him away. And then Peter falls for it once again. All right, sure.
Or the producers wanted him to keep her on because she's clearly stirring up drama.
Oh, yeah. They needed her to stay for another week. They needed McKenna to stay for another week. So McKenna then interrupts Tammy, interrupting the rose ceremony. And at this point, the other women are like, what the fuck is this?
Well, McKenna seems permanently in a state of thinking that if she just has one more 5-minute conversation with Peter, he will fall deeply in love with her.
That's how it works.
And see her heart.
But yet she never reveals that big thing she wants to reveal.
The thing never comes out.
The thing she reveals is,
what is the thing?
This is hard for me and I'm on the edge.
Exactly.
Like, and Peter's like, same.
Yeah. So Lexi is just fully annoyed. Natasha is annoyed. Again, these New York women do not have time to waste time.
They're like, you just made yourself a mini cocktail party and like screwed all of us over. So now, you know, if I were Lexi too, I'd be like,
you
just talked to Tammy and McKenna.
Now I'm
probably
going
to
go. Yeah. And she does.
She
so
does.
Pete apologizes. He's like, I know it's an emotional night, but I got to get through this rose ceremony. Let's all go to bed. Roses go to Victoria F., Madison, Natasha, Victoria P., McKenna, and Tammy, which means that two greats are going home.
Lexi
and
Shan.
Love both of them.
And they're so emotional. And I feel like usually at this stage, we see a little bit of emotion, but I feel like it's just been
exhausted.
It's a roller coaster.
And I think both of them are very well liked in the house.
Yeah.
Like, they clearly have a lot of friends. So it's tough when you see people.
It was
like
so sad.
Yeah.
And I love Lexi.
Like, I love both
she
of
was
them,
great.
Honestly.
Lexi, shout out to you.
I know. I want
you're
them both on the pod.
Come on the pod.
Lexi, I'm so
she
glad you
too.
Got that great Cosmo shot out of this because you'll have that for the rest
of your life.
Exactly.
Like, Peter, a relationship with Peter would last 6 months.
Exactly.
A good, beautiful bikini shot of you in Cosmo lasts forever.
Forever.
Forever. So Lexi, you know, bids everyone goodbye, and she's like, look, Peter, I'm glad you're following your heart. Glad I got to meet you, which, good for her. Mm-hmm. Shianne is very emotional and sad. She really didn't expect to go home. And the girls, it's cute. You hear some of the women in the background are like, we love you, Shishi.
Aw, Shishi.
It was really
and
sweet.
And she still has, like, bruises from that football. Like, it just feels so sad.
Shishi deserved better.
Shishi. She did. One of the few who didn't attack any of the other women.
I know. Mm-hmm. But I love this.
Except physically she on the
pulls,
football field.
She pulls a fantastic, slightly shady move on her way out, mm-hmm. which we've seen other women do, where she's just like, just watch warning out. You, watch out for some of these other women, but gives no specifics.
Wink.
So it's just like, Peter, be on guard.
Yeah. And Peter's someone's just like, sad puppy. Yeah.
And Peter's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
No.
There's still fake women in the house?
Yeah. Shan's just like, look, if it couldn't be me, I hope he ends up with someone who's actually a good person and not someone with a bad attitude who's a diva.
Mm-hmm.
Not Who feeling good
could
about
she
that.
Be talking about?
Like, all of that.
You really can't pick. It's all of them.
And then we get the credit sequence, which is maybe the best part of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Harrison, darkened silhouette, voice changed, talking about Peter's accident and how he's the most unathletic, clumsy bachelor they've ever
Again,
had.
Again, investigative journalism. Like, they just turned it up this episode.
Like, lean into the funny. I think we can lean out of some of this dumb, constructed drama and lean in
to Chris
the
Harrison.
Absurdity.
To the absurdity. Like, it's silly. Let's lean into the security cam footage and out of the women throwing around casual accusations of substance abuse.
Mm-hmm. That's what I love about Bachelor in Paradise is that the opening credits are so clearly just like making fun of themselves.
Yes.
This show doesn't do enough of making fun of itself. So I appreciated Chris's true crime drama thing.
I agree. So, you know, thank you, Laura, for wading through this.
Yeah,
with
so
us.
Sorry.
This was so fun.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm exhausted from reliving it, but I'm really glad I did.
Yeah.
And now it's time for Feminism Fails, and boy, do we have
so many.
A lot of them.
The list is long.
So let's start. First, we have the women, especially Sydney and Tammy, calling each other crazy, psycho, psychopath, nuts. Going to give this one a 5. As we discussed before, this is language that's really been weaponized against women. Don't use it.
Nope. I agree. 5. Peter concludes that Sydney is strong because she experienced racist bullying. I'd give this a 3 because, yeah, there are good intentions here, but it's not the responsibility of Black women to endure racism to become your inspiration.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have some uncomfortable cultural tourism happening in Costa Rica with that whole shaman cleansing ritual. Going to give that a 4 just because this is a part of a larger issue that the franchise has with being unable to engage with local cultures of the places they travel in a way that is responsible rather than exploitative.
Mm-hmm. Next, we have Tammy suggests that Kelsey pops pills, that she's an alcoholic, you know, which is to be clear, you can have a relationship with alcohol and in this instance.
Even a negative one.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean you're undeserving of love. This is not like trying to shame people who struggle with addiction.
Nor does it need that, you know, it doesn't mean that you get to be called out to somebody who doesn't really need to know this information if you're looking out for the quote-unquote well-being of another woman.
And also it seems pretty clear that these claims were not necessarily founded in any sort of truth.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which we know Peter's after the truth.
He's just after the truth. We're going to give that one a 4.
Peter mansplaining marriage to Kelly was an interesting one, considering she's a 27-year-old attorney who is ready
who has her
for
shit
marriage.
Together.
I'm going to give this like a 4. Because, you know, Kelly's unsure of the bachelor process, unsure of Peter. But to Peter, that means he needs to explain the concept of love and marriage to her. Which, no, thank you.
She doesn't really need a man to teach her those things.
Nope.
It's gross to watch. Then finally, we see the women placing blame on Kelsey after Peter calls off the cocktail party. Going to give this one a 4 also. Like, why are these women constantly pointing the finger at each other instead of at the man actually making these decisions? Again, this is an anger they should direct at Peter. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guests, Laura Bassett, and our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a moment of Peter's season recaps, and give us a 5-star rating and review.
You can also give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Lee Blickley and at Lee BZ.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
We'll be back later this week for a recap of episode 6 of The Bachelor.
Dear Lord.